Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Why are more American teenagers than ever suffering from extreme anxiety? That was the New York Times Sunday Magazine cover story yesterday. It starts with a successful teen suddenly so overwhelmed with anxiety that going to school caused panic attacks, stomach pain, what educators are calling school refusal. Last week, we spoke with Matt Doyle, a clinical social worker who treats this diagnosis that's surging in teens. Matt is one of many voices saying school refusal should be treated with flexibility, not punishment, and that it can be caused by fear of failing, by learning disability, shaming, bullying, violence in the home or in the neighborhood. We heard from listeners who recognized their children in the description, recognized themselves as children. And Emmanuel Pariser, Director of Instruction and Education Programming at the Maine Academy of Natural Sciences, a charter school, wrote about their new Threshold program, which sends teachers to find kids who've been absent in their homes. We wanted to hear more, so Emmanuel Pariser joins us in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
Are we reading this correctly? This took our breath away. You actually send teachers into students' homes?
Yes, we do. It's a home visiting model, and we feel like this is one way to get students who have been disengaged, re-engaged with their schooling.
Well, talk about the need for it. What were you seeing?
We expected, actually, when we started this program, to have a majority of students who are pregnant and parenting, who are also a subgroup of kids who do not get to school or are kind of pushed out of schools. And what happened is that of 21 students, we had 18 that came in with some sort of diagnosis or some sort of self-reflection that they were socially anxious. So 18 out of 21 students were actually in that category, and three were teen parents.
Well, how surprising was that to you?
It was very surprising to me. Although when we started advertising the program and recruiting for it, and we talked to caseworkers, they just lit up about kids that were not getting to school because of anxiety.
Anxiety, or yeah. and leading to this school refusal, an immobilization, a paralysis from the anticipation of going to school. Look, I want to talk more about what you do, but I mean, we're just overwhelmed with people who recognized this. But there were one or two who said, this is just coddling. I can't believe we're doing this, allowing kids to say they're too anxious to go to school. Get over it.
Well, I think that it's a natural response, a sort of suspicious response that people are manipulating the system. But I can tell you that 9 out of 10 teenagers would much rather be with their peers than at home, alone, isolated, and feeling really low self-esteem as a result of it.
Why do you think it's happening so much? Or was it always happening? I mean, I expressed to Matt Doyle tremendous sadness thinking about kids I went to school with, and, you know, they'd be in the back of the class, they'd be ostracized, the teachers would actually mock them. You know, eventually they just weren't coming.
Well, I think just even if you look at the comments to your story, there were some from quite a long time ago, but I think it is really peaking now, and I've thought about that a lot. I don't feel like I have an answer for the bigger picture, although the idea of canaries in the mine comes to my mind, that it's a reflection of general society and our anxieties and our stress levels. But I do feel like the immediate cause for our kids is some kind of rupture in their relationships with adults, and that school does not feel like a safe place for them to be. And when you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, safety is the number one. If they don't feel they're safe, they cannot learn.
Matt Doyle, with his program, told us that he would go into the home and be there when kids woke up to see what happens in that moment where maybe they can't get out of bed or they're already but can't get out the door. What are your teachers doing when they go to the home?
What they're doing, the way that the program starts out, is with an interview with a student really about their life and not just their academic life. So there's an effort to show that right away we're interested in them, in who they are, and in the struggles that they've been having. When they come in to do work with the student, they are doing an individualized learning plan. We want them engaged in the act of learning. And what has to be a sort of a foundation for that is that trust that gets developed between the teacher and the student.
This whole concept is asking a lot of teachers. I mean, for decades, we've been asking teachers to, you know, be social workers, be therapists. You're nodding.
We ask so much of schools, and we're not often willing as communities, as a nation, to pay for what it really costs. And schools are being asked to deal with mental health problems, criminal justice problems. And what people don't seem to realize is that if they don't get dealt with, then they become problems, budgetary problems in other areas like the criminal justice system or the mental health system or the, you know, healthcare system.
So you've got teachers in the home striking up a relationship. Then what? I mean, is the goal to get them back in a school building?
I think over time, that would be the ideal goal, would be to help break down that isolation. Now, it may be a little bit different in urban areas, but in Maine, you know, that sense of isolation, if you live in a trailer that's down a dirt road that's 20 miles from a town, you are really isolated. And now with the internet and with phones and all of those kind of, you know, dimensions that a student can distract themselves with, there's kind of, I would say, a false sense of connection. Our overarching goal is to get them to graduate from high school. And if we can work them back into a more conventional school environment, that is great.
By the way, you don't like the phrase school refusal.
Correct.
Why?
I think it implies kind of a willful act and that people are refusing because they want to be obstinate or they're pushing back. And I think it is much more often an act coming out of fear and coming out of a sense of a lack of empowerment as opposed to a sense that you can push back on things and get what you want.
Look, how much are you finding that some of this disorder is learning disability? I mean, again, these comments are amazing. Here's one. Mm-hmm. I skipped school because no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't do math. My reading ability was great. As a 57-year-old and 37 journalism awards later, I now know I had dyscalculia, which is a math disorder.
So I think what happens is as kids disengage from school, there become, you know, gaps in their learning. That is part of what we're going to try to help students overcome. But of our 21 students, 11 have had the designation as special education students. So right there, you've got it, that there's been an academic issue and somehow that hasn't been dealt with in a way that worked for the student.
And how much is there a physical component to this? I mean, again, here's Chris, who writes, I was this kid, the one we talked about who can't go to school. I started doubling over with stomach pain every Sunday night in anticipation of the school week ahead of me.
Yeah, I don't think there's that much of a separation from the heart and mind and the body. And I think the body, you know, takes on the stress level and those kind of somatic issues, I think, are really common. And then you have something kind of real rather than the sort of amorphous, anxious feeling. You have a stomach ache, and that's a legitimate reason to miss school if you're sick.
Look, how's it going with the Threshold program?
You know, we just started in September, so it's really early on. And I'm finding that the teachers are very enthusiastic about the chance to interact with these students. And there's been a variety of different responses. We've had some students that kind of continued that they weren't there for their appointment. They missed the next appointment. Mom called in for the next appointment. And there are others that are just digging in and making great strides academically. So it's kind of been a mixed response. And I wanted to make that point that for a traditional school, these students present a couple problems. One is it's a complex situation to deal with. The other is that there are a lot of disincentives associated with actually working with the kids because they're probably not going to be your high-scoring kids. Their attendance record isn't going to be so good, so they're going to make you look bad. I feel like schools are in a terrible bind with this, and our school is doing it because that's our mission. We want to work with kids that are underserved. We want to innovate. We want to show that this can be done.
That's Emmanuel Pariser, Director of Instruction and Education Program Designer at the Maine Academy of Natural Sciences. They wrote us after our piece on school refusal. Emmanuel, get ready. You're going to hear from people
Great.
Across the country. Thank you.
Well, thank you.